So today is the 14th January 2018. We are at Wuping Jingse, Sunday. So today is our 66th lesson of the 6th Patriarch Black Palm Sutta. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, then the virya, spiritual zeal. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bunsu Se Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Se Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Se Chia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa Bhutang Bhagawantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tetiampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tetiampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tetiampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tetiampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujjami. Dhammang Pujjami. Sanghang Pujjami. Okay. You all can be seated. Then let us turn to page one, the page before page one, sorry. Verse for opening the sutta. We will chant them together. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay. Then you will turn to page 322. Okay. So this one is Dayan Master. How you pronounce this word? Zi Huang. Zi Huang. Zi Huang. Is it Huang? Zi Huang. Okay. Okay, we'll read the sutta. Dayan Master Zi Huang had formerly studied under the Vipatriya and said of himself that he had attained to the right reception. He lived in a hut constantly sitting for 20 years. In his travel, the master's disciple. This one we covered, isn't it? Oh, not yet. Xuan Zhe. Rish. How to pronounce it? Ho Sao. Where he heard of where he heard of Zi Huang's reputation. He paid a visit to his heart and asked him, "Where are you going? What are you doing here?" Then Zi Huang replied, "Entering concentration." Then Xuan Zhe said, "You say you are entering concentration. Do you enter with thought or without thought?" See, this one is very important. If you enter without thought, then all insensate things such as grass, tree, tiles and stones should likewise attain concentration. If you enter with thought, then all sentient things which have consciousness should also attain concentration." Zi Huang said, "When I properly enter concentration, I do not notice whether I have thought or not." Then Xuan Zhe said, "Not to notice whether or not you have thought is eternal concentration. How can you enter it or come out of it? If you come out of it or enter it, it is not the great concentration." So this actually wake up this particular monk. Zi Huang was speechless. After a long while, he finally asked, "Who is your teacher?" Then Xuan Zhe said, "My master is the sixth patriarch at Shao Si." Then Zi Huang said, "Who does your master take to be? What does your master take to be Dayan?" Concentration or samadhi. Okay. So we read on, see what the commentary say. This commentary is by Master Xuan Hua. So this part on the real samadhi, they use the word concentration. It's actually not concentration. They call it ting, zhen ting, right samadhi. is not right concentration. 定 is not necessary concentration. Mm-hmm. That's why under the Sila Samadhi Panya, 戒 定 慧, that 定 is not concentration. It's Samadhi. So as we all know, Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. It's not a mind that is in energy field, in concentration. It is a free mind without thought. That's the reason why this disciple of Six Pietia, Xuan Ce, he said, not to notice whether or not you have thought is eternal concentration. Means no perception, nothing. Then how can you enter it or come out of it? If you come out of it or enter it, it is not the great samadhi. So the great samadhi, you cannot enter and come out. Means the samadhi is all the time there, if you understand. But when you are not in samadhi, means your mundane mind is active. Means you are not with your true mind, true nature. So you don't enter samadhi or come out of samadhi. You can follow. So a person who say I enter samadhi means he don't understand what the real samadhi is. So this word you have to be careful, samadhi. This is the original Pali word used by the Buddha. Samadhi. So samadhi is collectedness of mind. Oh, mind. And this is also called the unwavering mind. So this is true samadhi. Whereas concentration is different. Concentration, there is another Pali word. They call it samatha. Samatha is not samadhi. Samatha is a conditioned mind. In concentration. So this one can be in jhana or absorption. So this conditioned mind is mind in jhana or absorption. Means it's a focused mind. Focus mind. Focus mind. That's why the jhanic factor, they have one pointedness of mind. When the mind focus into a point. When it's in a point, in energy field, it cannot move. It's also in concentration. That one also no thought. But that is not the real samadhi. That is samatha. Concentration or absorption. The real samadhi is a free mind. When your thinking mind ceases to be, the mind becomes collected and unwavering. It doesn't move because there is no activity there. It's just aware. So this one, when mundane mind ceases, your mind will be in samadhi. And that is the true mind. That is your meditative mind. So the reason why Huining's teaching is very different is because it takes you direct to the true mind. And you must have this type of samadhi, which is in the midst of life. So this one is a free mind without thought. Free mind. Free mind without thought. So when the mundane mind or thinking mind is not ceases. So when your mundane mind or thinking mind ceases or not moving, then you are in samadhi. But it must be a free mind state. It must be in a free mind state. It must not be in a state of concentration where there is no thought. Then we move on to see what Xianhua have to say in the commentary. According to Xianhua's commentary, Zihuang practiced Dayan meditation. His first teacher was the fifth patriarch, Hongren. Formerly, when cultivators left the home life, they would travel everywhere in search of a bright-eyed knowing one. Xuan Zi did public relation work for the sixth patriarch. He traveled all over China saying, "My teacher is the sixth patriarch, the genuine recipient of the rope and bowl." When he heard about Zihuang cultivation, he went to visit him and said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" Then Zihuang just said, "I'm entering concentration." "You say you are entering concentration," said Xuan Zi. "Tell me, do you do it with thought in mind that you want to enter concentration, or don't you have such a thought? If you do not enter it with such a thought in mind, then all inanimate objects could also enter concentration, because they don't have thought either. But if you do, then all things, means all living things, conscious creature, could also enter as well." So Zihuang said, "When I enter concentration, I don't notice whether I have thought or not. At that time, I am empty." See? Try to justify. They are using word. Now then Xuan Zi, because he had already realized, said, "If you don't notice whether or not you have thought, then that is permanent concentration, eternal concentration. How can you come out of it or enter it? How do you go in? How do you come out? If you can enter and leave it, it's not the great concentration of the Buddha." So this part somehow awakened. Not to say really that word awaken, prompted this monk to realize that what he is doing is not the great samadhi of the Buddha. What he is doing is just enter normal concentration. Then we turn to the next page, 324. Zihuang was dumbfounded. "What am I going to do?" he thought. "I do go into concentration and come out of it." He couldn't open his mouth for a long time. He knew that his own words had no principle, that Xuan Ce's wisdom was higher than his own, and that he had no means to debate with him. So finally he asked, "Who is your teacher? Your eloquence is superb. Surely your master is even more clever than you. Who transmitted the Dhamma to you?" Then the answer came. He said, "My teacher is the sixth patriarch, the abbot of Nanhua Temple in Shaoshi, Shaoshi, or what? Shaoshi, Shi Xuan. What does he take to be Dhyan Samadhi or concentration?" So this is what Zi Huang want to know. So he asked. And Xuan Ce say, "My teacher speaks of the wonderful, clear, perfect stillness, the suchness of the substance and function, the fundamental emptiness of the five skandhas, and the non-existence of the six sense organ. There is neither emerging nor entering, neither concentration nor confusion. The nature of Dhyan is non-dwelling, and it is beyond the act of dwelling in Dhyan stillness. The nature of Dhyan is unproduced, and beyond the production of the thought of Dhyan. The mind is like empty space, and is without the measure of empty space." So this is to put it in a very, very abstract way, so that this monk, I think is Zi Huang, may not really comprehend, but we see how it goes. We go to the commentary. The sixth patriarch said that the original nature is wonderful, clear, perfectly still and unmoving. Its substance and function both are thus unmoving, clear, clear and illuminating. The five shadow, that is the five aggregates, the five skandha, heaps of form, feeling, perception. Here they use the word impulse. Impulse should be sankhara, mental activity and mental states. And finally, the aggregate of consciousness are fundamentally void, means empty. And the six sense object of form, sound, smell, taste, tactile object, and object of the mind are also non-existent. So this one is based on true understanding. When you go beyond mind, beyond thought, you understand this. That is also what the Heart Sutta is trying to teach. When you understand the wonderful function of the original substance, there is no question of either dwelling or non-dwelling in Dhyan, because all these are duality. The Dhyan nature transcends that kind of dead Dhyan, which is attached to stillness. The nature of Dhyan itself is unproduced and transcends such thought as "here I sit in Dhyan meditation." Because in that state, the true mind, there is no word, no concept, nothing. You cannot describe it. There is not even a thought telling you that you are in samadhi or in concentration. Then we go to the sutta. Hearing this explanation, Zi Huang went directly to visit the master, which is the sixth patriarch. Then the master asked him, "Kind sir, where are you from?" Zi Huang related the above incident in detail. The master then said, "It is truly just as he said. Simply let your mind be like empty space, without being attached to the idea of emptiness, and correct function of the self nature will no longer be obstructed." So this one is very important. I read again. He said, "It's truly just as his disciple has said. Simply let your mind be." See? Let it be. Don't do anything. Don't try to create any meditator or arise any idea of meditation. Simply let your mind be, just like empty space, Without being attached to the idea of emptiness means no word, no concept, no duality. And the correct function of the self nature will no longer be obstructed. Means your true mind, your true nature, the awareness, it will understand. It don't need words. Have no thought while in motion and stillness. See, this is what samadhi is all about. If you can be in that state of samadhi while in motion or in stillness, means the mundane mind doesn't arise. No thinking, no perception, nothing, just aware. That is the true samadhi. So this is what Hui Ning told this monk. Have no thought, whether in motion or stillness. Forget any feeling of being common or holy. See, don't attach to holy state of mind or wholesome state of mind. Put an end to both subject and object. Means the observer and the observed, and also the duality and all those things. The nature and mark will be thus, and at no time will you be out of the state of samadhi. They use the word concentration, it's a wrong English word. It should be the Pali word retain, samadhi. Means that nature is always there with you. You can never say you are apart from it, or you have entered it and come out of it. The people who say that doesn't understand. So that's why Hui Ning say, and at no time will you be out of that state of samadhi. So this one is not easy for people to understand. But if you are a cultivator, if you enter that silent stillness, stabilize that true mind, the awareness, then you will understand. Then when you can do it in the midst of life, you will become very different. Then we go to the commentary. What Xuan Zi told you was correct, said the master. Just make your mind like empty space, but do not hold on to the idea of empty space. You will then function in an unhindered way. When something presents itself, you will respond. And when it passes, you will be still. This is to be unobstructed. Whether moving or still or emotion, whether walking, standing, sitting or lying down, have no thought. Do not think that you are a sage. And do not think I'm just a common people. Forget about feeling holy or common. Get rid of emotional feeling altogether. Be without subject or object. Do not have something which sees and something which is seen. Means the observer and the observed. Something which makes empty and something which... Something which makes empty and something which is make empty. Okay. You should know that when you see brightness, your seeing is not bright. When you see darkness, your seeing is not dark. When you see emptiness, your seeing is not empty. When you see form, your seeing has no form. When you see existence, your seeing is non-existent. And when you see non-existent, your seeing is non-existent. The Sarangama Sutta say, when your seeing sees the seeing nature, that seeing is no longer seeing. Your seeing nature is beyond your seeing, and your seeing cannot reach it. Your seeing nature should be separate from and attached to your false thinking seeing. That is your mundane consciousness, mundane seeing. And you should not hold on to the thought of seeing. You adhere to the idea of subject and object, maintaining that there is someone who sees as well as an emptiness which is seen. You are left with just that knowledge, means it's not wisdom, it's just knowledge. Yeah? You should put an end to both subject and object. Here, the explanation by Xianhua is not so clear. Not so clear. Because the direct seeing is from the awareness, before the knowing, before the arising of the aggregate of mind, the word, the concept, to perceive, from memory and all those things. When you are in samadhi, you see things as they are. Then what he quoted here, the Surangama Sutta also, he quoted it slightly differently. He said the Surangama Sutta said when your seeing ceases, the seeing nature he separate into mundane seeing and true seeing. That seeing is no longer the mundane seeing. Yeah. But the actual word in the Surangama Sutta is different. The actual word in Surangama Sutta is this. I think you will recall. Perception of form is what? Is what? Oh, very good. Consciousness. Very good. Whereas its non-perception is what? Wisdom. Very good. Non-perception is wisdom. So this is the actual word in the Surangama Sutta. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. So this one very clearly points to you. When you use your mundane mind to see, you are not seeing. But this is consciousness, mundane consciousness. So here, consciousness means mundane consciousness. Mundane consciousness. So mundane consciousness is your thinking mind, the normal seeing from memory, from the brain. That's why they say kan san si san. Because it's a concept, it's an idea. You created the word through memory, your conditioning. You say this is mountain, then it's mountain. That is normal seeing, mundane seeing. Whereas the direct seeing, when you see things as they are, the pure perception before the knowing, that thing is just that thing, no word, nothing. Like the baby when they are born, they see things as they are, without the words, without the concept, the direct seeing. That's like the enlightened being, when they see, they say, kan san, pu si san. The same mountain they see, they say, it's not mountain. Because that thing got no name. You understand? Before the words, before the perception, before the memory come in. So, whereas it's non-perception means you don't use your mundane mind. Means you don't perceive. So this non-perception is not using the mundane mind. So this one is not using the mundane mind. So instead, it is the direct seeing. So this seeing is different from the mundane seeing. We are the two mind. So when you see without the words, without the concept, this is the direct seeing. We are the true mind. So this one you can put bracket. Not using the mundane mind to see. Instead, it is the direct seeing. We are the true mind. But it is not perceiving. It's just a pure awareness. Why? Or you can call it a pure perception without the words. And that is wisdom. Because this is the true mind, direct seeing. Seeing things as they are, the reality. So this one is also seeing things as they are. As they are. So when you see things as they are, means that is the truth. That is the reality. That is the reality. So when you see things as they are, means you are not seeing with a concept or an idea. Means you are seeing with direct understanding, direct awakening. You are seeing the reality. Think as it is, not according to what your mundane mind tell you. Not according to what your conditioning tell you. Your belief system, your views and your opinion. All these are not the truth. Because all this is the conditioned state of mind, your views, your opinion. So you will perceive things differently. That's why everybody perceives it differently. Then they will argue. Then they will create reality and all those things. Then they have concept, they have idea. But when you see things as they are, this is the truth, the reality. Nothing to argue. Well, that is the pure perception, the true awareness. When the awareness see, it is the same for all. There is no word. There is no distinction. There is no duality or concept or idea. It is just as it is. Okay? Can follow? Very good. Then we go on. The final part of the sutta says, just then, Zi Huang attained the great enlightenment. See? So easy. When the disciple explained to him, that's why I told you, too abstract. It's like empty space, sort of thing. But here, Hui Ning, he moved in a little bit and expressed it more clearly. And because of that, this particular disciple of the fifth patriarch, Zi Huang, attained the great enlightenment. When he had attained, when he had gained in 20 years, what he had gained in 20 years vanished from his mind without a trace. That night, the people of Ho Pei? How they pronounce that town? Heard a voice in space announcing, Today, Dayan Master Zihuang had attained the way. Later, he made obeisance and left, returning to the place where he stay and teach, to Hopei to teach and convert the four assemblies there. So this is beautiful, isn't it? So if you have the understanding, if you are ready, when you listen attentively to truth, you can also awaken. And awakening is just the sudden, that moment itself, the mind that understands will awaken. Just like that. Wisdom is as simple as that. But when you don't understand, it's as difficult as whatever it is. Because when you say simple and difficult, these are relative convention. Do you understand? Simple to those who have cultivated, who are ready, who has the understanding. But to those who are still deluded, heedless, don't understand, it's not simple. It can be tremendously difficult, very, very difficult. You look at this monk, Zihuang. He learned from the fifth period, and he meditated diligently for 25 years, isn't it? Or 20 years. Yeah. And you know what happened? He thought he enlightened. He thought he understand the way. Then what happened? When he was pointed out that what he is doing is not the real samadhi, it's still thought based. Luckily, his ego was not like the second potential patriarch, remember? That guy, Hui Ke, before he became Hui Ke, he was full of anger. He got the bits and all those things. And every time he cannot win the argument, he will get angry and whack people. So much so, he even whacked Bodhidharma, the tooth also nearly came out. So, luckily, this guy more humble, then he knew he cannot answer even the disciple of Hui Ning, the Song Zhe. So when Song Zhe questioned him, he cannot answer. He knew he had met somebody who is way beyond his understanding. That's why he seek his teacher's name. Then he himself went and met up with the sixth patriarch. Then the moment he awakened, you know what happened? According to the Sutta, I read to you again. Just then, Zihuang attained the great enlightenment. Then what he had gained, means what he had cultivated in 20 years, vanished from his mind without a trace. Do you understand? Because that is the wrong teaching. The ego think that he already enlightened and all those things. But it's not the direct seeing. That's why the Buddha say the truth, the Dhamma, is Pachetang. Pachetang means can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. You no need to doubt, you no need to check. The wise will understand, because can be realized by the true mind. But not using thought. If you use thought and think you are enlightened, that is knowledge. That is not the real thing. So this is a very interesting chapter, where this particular monk, through listening attentively, he came to great awakening. So what is the difference between 20 years of that type of samatha, or thought-based cultivation, and suddenly he hear from Hui Ning this type of cultivation? What was the thing that triggered off his enlightenment? He just awakened on that. If you understand this principle, maybe this retreat march, you will awaken, I tell you. It's not difficult. I'm not joking. Queenie, I'm not joking. Really. Even now, after meditate, you lie down, you suddenly realize it. You will awaken. No. It's not a joke. When you understand, it's just like that. So simple. Yeah. Because what he learned from the three beings here, he don't have that capacity to understand. So he learned like Shen Xiu, understand? Must always be in samatha, or in concentration, the mind. In that state where there is no defilement or no dust can alight. So polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. Then a lot of people who do meditation without understanding, what do? They always seek peace, calmness, yeah? Good meditation experiences, means they want to see nimitta, they want to go into jhana, then they want to have special experiences in the meditation, especially in absorption that time. Completely still, no thought. Can sit for many days, sometimes for months. But completely blank. Because their consciousness, everything is been isolated or withdrawn. Because it's in a conditioned state or absorption. You go into stillness, completely still, no thinking, nothing, absorption in that state. Really no thought, nothing. But there is also no awareness inside there. So that type of samatha cannot give rise to wisdom. It can only suppress defilement. You are like an enlightened being. No fear, nothing, no emotion, nothing. But you are not conscious. You are not aware. You cannot come out to live life. So for real cultivator who understand, you need to reflect on this, understand this. Then look at the short notes that I sent out for the last three topics. I will try to photostat for you. Did you bring a... I can't hear you. Oh, you didn't bring. The master also you didn't bring. Oh, never mind. You go and read through your WhatsApp. It's in your WhatsApp. Because those short note pointers are very important. Huh? Yeah, short note summary, yes. You got print out. Never mind. I just want to read to them. Later on, we will print more. I will give to all those who are going on the retreat. At the retreat, you will need this short note. It will help you. But best is to read them now to understand. So that you go there, when you do the meditation, you straight away know what to do. You will understand. And you will have the condition, potential to be awakened when you truly understand. It's very simple. I just explained the two mind, the mundane mind and the true mind. Then you should thank Man Yuan. Man Yuan was the one that prepared the short note. And she was quite good. And I just edit it a bit only and make it clearer. Oh, not this one. This one is Yun Chan one. Man Yuan one. Your Sunday class should be Man Yuan. Never mind. I think I have it in my handphone. That day I sent it out to the Michael Yanamita. Okay, I read to you. Then you all can understand. What is it? 11. Oh, 11. On the 11. Thank you. Yes. Short note summary, yes. Oh, this is Yun Chan one also. Where is Man Yuan? Man Yuan should be before that. Yeah, Man Yuan came out first. Yeah, I think it's further out. Oh, on the 4th, isn't it? Your class is on the 4th, isn't it? Oh, no. 7, huh? Oh, you finish on the 7. So, on the 8. I thought Man Yuan came out first, isn't it? Oh, yeah, Man Yuan came out first, yeah. It's on the 9 itself, I think. Yes. Okay, I got it. On the 9. Dear Man Yuan, sadhu to you for your below short notes. And they are quite good. I have edited it as below. Yeah. So this one you listen. Short note for lesson 65 of the 6 page Triad Platform Sutta, dated 7 January 2018. Yeah. It is important to understand what constitutes defilement so that we can see them clearly in our meditation and our daily life. To arise the right effort to take care of our karma. Defilement means having mental negativity and evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So this one she captured it very well. It's all according to the sharing that day and also what I wrote on the whiteboard. However, in cultivation, this one she got it right. It's very good, is it? I told you all, once practice must not take the focus of just to get rid of defilement. Do you realize? A lot of meditators, they try to suppress, control, and rid their mind of the anger, the hatred, the defilement, the selfishness, the craving, the desire, and all those things. That is not the real understanding. Yeah? So I read again. However, in cultivation, one's practice must not take the focus of just to get rid of defilement, because that will not result in true progress. Instead, it may give rise to great stress involving the thinking, the effort to get rid of defilement and focusing, etc., because you have to do concentration and all those things. Instead, the concern should be to straighten one's view via careful observation to develop the wisdom. This is mindfulness. When you are aware, mindful, you are observing, investigating. Then with wisdom, defilement will automatically cease. So if you try to get rid of defilement without wisdom, what are you doing? I ask you a very simple question. Means you are not cultivating wisdom, isn't it? You are using method and technique to try to get rid of it. And that is just wasting your time. Because you are trying to suppress, control, and go into samatha mind state so that you won't get angry or the defilement won't come. And this is suppression, not rooting it out. Then the next part is the best. You listen. Be observant and mindful via the silent mind. See? She got it correct also. Most of the time is I add in on her. To understand what is happening, then I add in, not reacting to every situation based on memory and one's own previous conditioning. With right view, one will be able to arise the rest of the Noble Eightfold Path factor appropriately to progress along the path of Dhamma. Because without Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the 4 right effort, and the right samadhi, and the right sati, you cannot develop the wisdom to root out delusion or ignorance. So this part is very important. Then the next paragraph is the most important. When you are at Cameron Highland, you must remember this. Don't use force to suppress, control, or banish defilement. as defilements are created by delusion. When there is delusion, there will be defilement, leading to the stirring of the mind, to arise the duality of good and bad, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome. Once there is duality, it's impossible to get rid of negativity, because negativity, bad, unwholesome mind state, come in a package with its opposite. When you don't create, the opposite is not. This is understanding or wisdom. Remember, last Sunday, we went through? Because of duality, the Buddha said, imastin sati idang horti. When this arises, that arises. When you create defilement, non-defilement arises. Or when you want, through craving, your mind to be pure, then the unpure state will arise. But whatever that is not pure will become the opposite. Because you define this as pure, non-defilement, or wholesome. So this is how mind creates. Through duality, then after that, you deludedly use the thought to do away with what the thought has created. You cannot. But the Buddha already said, when this arises, that will arise. You cannot end them. No. But the next statement is, imas mean asati idang aroti. He said, when you don't create, when this ceases, immediately that one ceases. You don't need to do anything. No. Which means, when you live life, when you are in the midst of life, whatever you confront, there is no such thing as right and wrong, good and bad, defilement and wholesomeness. All these are conventional truth or relative truth perceived by people. Good according to you, good according to them. These are relative truth. The reality is no good, no bad. Because thing is just the way it is. Do you understand? When conditioned like that, it is like that. It's just like I say, angry people do angry things. We got right and wrong. Well, his mind is angry, deluded. He will do things like that. So he is just the way he is. You cannot say he is wrong or he is right. To somebody who likes to get angry, he says, he is right. You should get angry. So right according to him. But the truth is, he is just the way he is. No right, no wrong. If you can understand that, means you do not stir your mind anymore. Then you can be at peace. That's how you should understand it. Then wisdom will free you. Then you will not be deceived by what your thought tell you, your views, your opinion and conditioning tell you. Then the phenomenal world will cease to have power over you. Then with that, we can move on. The next part is even more interesting. Using the mundane mind means you are not observing with the silent mind. To understand things clearly, to see things as they are, one will always react to situation, and this will become habitual. Why can't you just relax and silence your mind during meditation? Now listen to this. Even when there is pain or the heedless thinking arising, or uneasiness of mind, means restlessness, all those things, etc. Just patiently observe without reaction. Then the mind will revert back to its original state of stillness and silence before the stirring. Don't label or try to stop the heedless thinking or mental activity or mental states, which we call sankhara. Just allow it to be. Then be with it, means the awareness and that thing as one. Accept them for what they are, and just let things be. Acceptance via wisdom, right view, is peace. Whereas acceptance without wisdom is suppressing or suppression. giving rise to affliction. See? So beautiful, the short note. So when you go and meditate, whether Cameron Highland or anywhere, you must just develop this understanding. Whatever arise, let it arise. Don't fight. Don't try to do anything. Yeah, that is the nature. Condition like that, things will be like that. Without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will be there. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. Because the untrained mind is hindering a lot. So what happens is, when this thing happens, do not try to do anything. Don't go and fight, suppress, and try to do away with the mental hindrance or defilement, or the anger, the fear, the emotion, and all. Forget about it. Just let it be. Then slowly, slowly, this mind, after its thinking, what they call craving force, to become heedless, cease, then on its own, the mind will return to its natural state of stillness, inner peace, and inner awareness. But before the stirring, it was like that. When you are a baby, it was like that. How come through your heedless thinking, habitual tendency, delusion, you created such a heedless thinking mind? Your mundane mind becomes full of fear, worry, anxiety, and you accumulate in your brain all of the conditioning that you receive from society, from the world. And what are the conditioning? Your culture, your belief system, your tradition, your rites and rituals, your views and your opinion that you pick up as you go through life. Then you experience all of your good and bad in life, especially the negative aspect of life, your scars of memory, your phobia, your unhappy mind state when you go through life. When you confront certain situations that can give rise to intense fear, traumatic fear, especially when you are young, certain aspects of life like child abuse, or very miserable cases, you have been deceived, cheated, sometimes sexual harassment, rape and all those things, or abuse in whatever way. Then punish. So all this will leave behind very strong, intense fear, phobia, scars of memory that you capture in your conscious and subconscious mind. And this thing will remain there. Then when the condition, when the thought arises, it will trigger off, then you recall. Then immediately you experience intense fear, phobia and all those things. That's how people even have nightmare, they dream, because this is subconscious release. If the brain don't release this type of accumulated fear or hidden fear, the brain will go cuckoo. You will go to Tanjung Rambutan. So this is how our brain functions. When you are sleeping, you need to release all this. That's why you have funny bits and pieces type of dream state appearing. Then sometimes for no reason it's like there is phobia, that dream, that fearful dream keep on recurring because it's not rooted out. It's deep in your subconscious and sometimes it's as deep as the unconscious, we are a long time ago. Then suddenly it triggers off. So when you understand all this, that your brain, your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your accumulated fear, scars of memory, even your selfishness, your greed, your insecurity, your emotional negativity, your delusion, all this is in your memory, in your brain. So when you act, you cannot use memory. You're acting according to memory, it's not acting at all. You're acting out of fear, out of emotion, out of insecurity, out of your negative mind state, your phobia and all those things. And that is not true action. True action is you act according to wisdom, right view, according to Noble Eightfold Path. So right view means you must straighten your view. to see things differently, not through the old way that every time using the brain, which is the conditioned entity. So when you see something, hear something, smell something, or tactile feel and think of something, if you allow the memory to interfere, then you are not truly seeing. Because this is not the direct seeing, this is mundane seeing. Seeing with your memory, your brain, your conditioned mind that I mentioned just now. So with this, you will make mistake because your views are all not the right view. You haven't become enlightened, you haven't awakened. So every moment of perception is wrong view, wrong perception. That's why your mind stir, create mental hindrance. You arise fear, worry, anxiety. Then you panic, you project your thought. This cannot solve your problem. To solve your problem, you have to understand whatever happened in life, that is the reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. I don't have to panic, I don't have to react, I don't have to stir my mind, I don't have to allow memory to come in and interfere. I just observe, silent. Then through that silence, I have clarity. My mind does not stir, does not project, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Then I ask, what happened? What happened is the reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. So this reality, the Buddha already mentioned, first noble truth reality, the eight type of reality. So you check, it will fall within these eight, sometimes multiple. So if these are reality, means not only I have to confront, every living being, if they live life long enough, they will have to confront. So what is the difference? The one who suffer don't have this understanding. The one who don't suffer have this understanding. So do you want to be the one who don't understand and become afflicted? If you don't want, you better wake up and develop this understanding, awakening. That's why this retreat is very good. Then you can also do it when you are meditating at home with your religious routine and all those things. So if you don't fight them, don't suppress them, don't try to do anything, you just silent. The third way that the Buddha taught, you remember? The third way? To overcome unwholesome thought? First, think of the direct opposite, then think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought, and the third one is just aware, silent. Use that one to meditate. Then later on, when your mindfulness becomes more and more stable and clear, then use the fourth way to trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse all this by straightening your view so that the wisdom arises. So that in future, your mind will not stir and react like the old way. So that your mind is always heedful now, from now onward. No more heedless, no more deluded. That's the reason why daily mindfulness is so important. And when you understand this, you can meditate easily. You don't have to go to all those so-called thought-based meditation, waste your time. Even this monk is very good. He thought he enlightened. No, he was with the fifth patriarch, and he cultivated for 20 years. And yet he was using thought. He doesn't understand the true mind, the true nature. Only Huining, where he has his past. That's why he can understand. Then when he understand, because he is a great being, he has perfected all this before, cultivated all this before. That's why he can share and make living beings understand. This type of beings are very rare, very, very rare. People who can really explain the Dhamma to you and relate it to life for you, so easy to understand. Like yesterday, there was a young man, I think 29 years old. He came for Thursday class. He attended two lessons. It was very good. It helped him so much. He got certain very peculiar problem. I think about 7 years, 7 or 8 years ago. Then he was in a state of depression and all those things. Oh, very severe. Then he called up everywhere. Want to talk to somebody. Want to find a solution to his problem. an answer to his problem and to life, because he had this suicidal thought, everything coming to him. Then he called up many places. They can't help him. Then he thought maybe the monk will know. So he was looking for monk. He called up one center next near to his house where he stayed, Kotakumuni. They say that center no monk. So he asked, where is the nearest center got monk? They say SJBA, Subang Jaya Buddhist Association. Then he called up SJBA. Then there was one lady answer. Then lady say, yeah, if you want, you can come. We got monks here. Then later on he came. He talked to one monk. After 2 hours, he still cannot understand what is going on. He still has his problem. Because he said, nobody can make it clear to him. And nobody can understand what his problem was. Can't even explain to him how he become like that. Then he called up the girl again. He said, is there anybody else I can talk to? Then the girl said, okay, you come, I talk to you. Then he came, he talked to the girl for 1 hour, it seems. Then Sui An walked in. Then that girl saw Sui An, wow, happy. He said, maybe Brother Sui An can help you, he's an expert. He said, young man went and talked to Brother Sui An. Again, after that, he said he cannot understand. Then Brother Sui An said, okay, then you come to Thursday class. That's how he come to Thursday class. Then when he came to Thursday class, I think some of you were there. I think Vivian were there. Oh, you missed that one. Who were there? You remember? When I asked him, why do you come for meditation? He said, I want to be happy. So, then after that, I think another Ket Hun said, I want to be peaceful. Well, I asked the question, I said, why does human being or living being seek religion or the Buddhist teaching? So these are common answers. I want to be happy. Means I know he's very unhappy. Understand? Very stressful. Full of sadness. That's why I enter depression, suicidal thought, everything. So this is what will happen. Yeah. But all these conditions came about was where there was one couple who came from Canada, I think Yun Chan's friend. Then they shared with me some very important fact. He said they have been Buddhists cultivating for the last 20 plus years. They thought they know Buddhism. But after they received my book, after they hear my recording, the transcript of it, they realized they have not really understood the true teaching. That's why they were very keen to come to my house, meet up with me, and also, of course, get more books. So Yun Chan brought her to my house. And that was Thursday before the class start. So I spent 1 hour with them. Then both of them told me their problem. Then they said, thank you so much, Brother Teo. Your teaching is so simple, is it? So clear. So easy to understand and relate to life and all things. That's why they were very happy and they want to ask more questions. So after she started to ask all those questions, then I try to answer in whatever way I can, which is very clear, because the husband was listening. Then after a while, before I even really explain finish, because the wife got a lot of questions, ask me another question. And another question. Until the husband, I have to tell the wife, please don't ask any more questions. Let Brother Teo explain. After that, you know what the husband told me. He said, now you have given me faith. Well, last time, he doesn't understand the beauty of the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. He said, after listening to you, everything is nature's law. Don't have to believe anything. And everything can relate to life. And it's so easy to understand and so clear. The nature's law and all those things. I gave them the seminar book and all those things. They have read the book. So because of that, I realized not only this couple, a lot of Buddhists also have this problem. So because of that, that Thursday class, I say, why not we go into this topic and discuss it? Yeah. Why do we seek religion or the Buddhist teaching? Then after that, how do we put it into practice and cultivate? That's how all this come about. Then after that few things that we discuss, I think the short note, they are all there. There's 6 or 7 reasons why people seek religion or come for this type of meditation and teaching. Apart from wanting to be happy and to have a peace of mind, there are people who have problem to solve their life problem. Then the other one say, to understand life so that they can live life. Then finally, my wife say, to be free from all suffering, to realize the enlightenment. So these are the various reasons why people come and seek Dhamma or religion. Then I start to explain the Noble Truth. I start to talk about brain memory, how you hold to that wrong thought, that condition, your fear, suffering, everything, then you become miserable. You know what he told me after that class? He said, brother, that is what is happening to me. 100% direct hit. The next Thursday also same. Everything is it was like relating to his life. Is it? Everything I mentioned about the memory, the conditioning, the view, and how he hold on to all those thoughts that caused him the misery. He said, 100% direct hit. That was what actually happened to him. That's why he was full of joy. Then he knew he got an answer already. Then he seek an appointment to see me. He came yesterday. We spent almost 3 hours. He came at 3:30, I think. Then a bit late, but we end almost 7. And he had a beautiful session. Well, after that, he was full of joy. He said, it took me so long. Then I explained to him about karma and all those things. Then he started to develop that. And he had a lot of joy, a lot of joy. That's why, in the same way, if you understand this teaching, you can become beautiful. He is so new, you know, he doesn't know the Dhamma. You know. He's a traditional Buddhist, once a year Buddhist. Never learn anything. Not exposed to any teaching. The typical Chinese family type of Buddhist, go to temple, he said, pray to deity and all those things. So people like him, because he went through life so stressful, so full of suffering and misery, then he was searching and searching and searching, and he cannot find. Then finally he met me. After the 2 lessons, he became so different. He feel that there is somebody who really can understand. Then before he left, you know what he told me? He said, thank you so much. He said, I said, don't worry, you have your good karma. He said, but your teaching is so easy to understand, so clear. He said, relate to what happened to me. He said, because attachment, clinging, grasping, he saw it, how he hold on to that thought. That thought was with him for the last 8 years, I think, 7 or 8 years, and very strong, and it affected his job, his career, everything. Because he hold on to all those thoughts, and he felt miserable. So these are very beautiful examples of how this Dhamma can really help people. And once you have this understanding in the retreat, or if you are diligent in your daily religious routine, you meditate and you cultivate, when you awaken, you can help many people too. You can first help yourself to become very beautiful. You transform from a heedless way of living to a heedful way of living life, and you will become very beautiful. Okay, so this short note, the rest you go back and read. This one I return to you, Miss Lin. I will give it out to all the retreat participants. Then I think I got extra maybe 40. 40, then I can give out. So you all just go through it. If you are going for the retreat, it's good. Otherwise, you also develop the understanding so that when you meditate, when you attend the class or you are at home, you know what to do. So it's a very useful. This short note, our direct pointer, that can allow you to understand. And I like this example because this monk, after 20 years, think that he's enlightened, get trapped. Yet, within one day after meeting, I think less than one day, that 1 hour or so after meeting Hui Ning, he just become enlightened. Then he go back to his hometown, Hopei, to teach the four assembly and all those things. Okay, the last part, the commentary, page 327. I just finished this, then we end. Then after that, 4:30, we can have our meditation. So according to commentary, all of a sudden, Shi Huang had a great, not a small enlightenment, but a great enlightenment. And the skill he had acquired in 20 years of diligent cultivation completely left him. There was not a trace, not an echo. Before he had entered Samadhi, thinking, I'm entering Samadhi. But now he has nothing at all. Everything was empty. He had returned to the root and source of all Dhamma. Although Zhi Huang himself was in Hosawa. That night in his native village on the outskirts of Beijing, his neighbor's disciple and Dhamma protector all heard it. A voice in space saying, you should all know that today Dayan Master Shi Huang reached enlightenment. See, the heavenly being also helped you to send the message back to your hometown. So later, Shi Huang bowed to the six patriarchs, took leave and returned to Hopei to teach the bhikshu and bhikkhuni, laymen and laywomen there. Hopei is about 1500 miles from, or from the place he met Hui Ning, I think, That's a long walk. Wow, to walk 1500 miles, 1500 miles. Wow, that is longer than the North South Highway. Our North South Highway is total 1000 over kilometer. This is miles, no? 1005. I think almost 1.5 times. Okay, good. So we end here. Do you have any question? Otherwise, you can have your meditation. You got any question? Anybody wants to ask anything or clarify anything? We still got about 5 minutes before the meditation. Anybody? Is it clear now today? If it's clear, it's very good. Then the short note, go back and read. And develop the understanding so that when you meditate, you know what to do. So now we can off the light, and you can have your meditation. So remember three things. If you need to train your mind, train. You can use mind sweeping method to combine metta. Then after that, anapanasati to stabilize that thing. Otherwise, straight away go into meditation, then silence your mind. Don't do anything like what I told you. If the thought come, let it be. Pain, numbness, all relax into it. Just silent. Then this mind will return to its original state of stillness. Then stay there. Then later on, if you can, when it starts to stabilize, become very quiet, very still, then you stay at your object of meditation. Could be anapanasati or at your heart area. Then all of a sudden, that silent mind will arise. Means whatever that is already very subtle, this silent mind will pick it up. Because this is the mind that has entered sati. When you stabilize that silent mind, it is just like that. So the key to meditation is the four support. Relax, aware, and just maintain the awareness, the silent mind. Don't do anything. Then later on is trust. So I write the four support somewhere. Okay, I will ring the bell after about half an hour. Always remember to relax, relax into every mind state that arises, body and mind completely relax. If you are not relaxed, you cannot meditate. Just relax, relax and relax. Feel yourself suddenly relax. No movement of thought. Later on, it's just silent. Whatever thinking, whatever thought that arise, let it be. It will finally slow down. Then it become quiet. That is the silent mind. Then you just stay there. Don't panic. You won't die. You will become different. There is a shift of consciousness. All of a sudden, you feel the quietness, the silence, the stillness, the tranquility. You will arise. Then just stay there. Don't do anything. Okay? 对。For those who still want to meditate, you can still continue for those 7 hours slowly, mindfully come out of meditation, trying to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Stabilize this mindfulness and use them to live life, then develop the continuity of mindfulness while you are back to society in your daily life. That is the most important cultivation. To be mindful and aware is very easy. Maintain attentiveness, awareness within your mind base, aware. That everything you do, your hand movement, activity, start with your kaya, physical, the awareness be with it. The easiest, of course, the four posture, sitting, your awareness is just aware. Then when you want to come out, how you move your hand, leg, everything, you're aware. Body and mind move as one. Then when you are doing your daily activity, also same. You have to move your hand, you have to turn your hand, you have to blink your eye. You have to breathe. Whatever you do, you must anchor your awareness to all your activity and movement. Then you realize when you are most of the time aware, the thinking will slow down, finally cease or stop. Then your daily mindfulness will come. Then even when you move around, your hand, how you move to open your car door, aware, be with it. And how you pull it out, and how your whole body move in, body and mind as one, and how you sit, maintain awareness. Then even when you wake up morning, first thing, aware your posture, then aware of how you come out of your bed, what are the things that condition your movement, you can check. Then after that, how you turn, how you move, and how you come into the sitting posture, aware. Then you move into your toilet, fully aware. Then answer nature's call, everything, all of the movement activity. Then even when you brush your teeth, same. How you move your hand to take your toothbrush. Then when you take, how you bring it back. Then how you move your hand to take the toothpaste, how you open. If you are with all this movement activity, you won't think. Your thinking initially will be less and less and less, and then later on you realize everything you do, your awareness is there. Then when you pay respect, same, body and mind as one. No need to know. Just maintain awareness, maintain attentiveness. Then the thinking will slowly, slowly slow down, cease, finally. Until this become a new way of living life. They call this the heedful living. Instead of constantly lost in thought, think a lot, worry, stirring your mind, reacting, arising all the not important thinking. Then thought is respond to memory. You must see them coming. Then you know what thought and how you hold on to them and how it condition you into heedlessness and all those things. Because you lack the spiritual faculty, you lack the ability to be aware, mindful. And because of that, a mental hindrance arise. Then you continue to be heedless until you become habitual. You have to reverse all this. So daily mindfulness is most important. Okay, now we open it up for reporting of meditation, then followed by whatever question you have, Q&A session. The mic is here. I pass to Miss Lee. Anybody wants to report meditation, you just raise your hand or ask any question. Anybody? Ah, yeah. Pastor Brother Song. Yeah. You can also share what you have, which is very useful.
就我要 share 一个这几个月的一个experience。
啊、OK, very good. 好的。
Since from November, somewhere in November 开始，我的 mind 很像突然间lost in the hills, but 你又 aware 到，但是你又不能够 do anything。Like, 那个 mind 它很像 like 那个 bulb 这样，你一 contact 了它就 auto 的就那个 habitual tendency everything 来。
Yeah.
Like for example, 很像我在驾车。我看到前面那辆车一慢，驾得比较慢。它里面就 auto 的就 anger 就 arise 了。哇 ，then 你就开始就一直哇 commenting 一直很多的那个 negativity。
Arising 哦。
Arising。But you aware，but 你不能够做东西。Like 它的那个mind state 是很 wild 又很 strong。
Yeah。
But you aware, but you cannot do. Just like that, no, for the last two months. Either 在 hatred 里面，在 anger 里面，或者在 greed 里面。You know about it, but 你又不能够做什么。它 so strong, so wild.
Yeah. Then, so, what do you do? Okay.
我就是，但是我也是不懂，就是每次就是这样 like every few day 就一个 auto, like every few day 一个 auto 就是。Just let it be 这样子，我就是 let it be。Then until last week, last weekend 你在 explain 那个to Mindy 那个吉他努巴山的时候，
yeah.
我整个人 arise， 哎 ，what 你 explain 的就是这两个月我一直在 experience 的就是吉他努巴山呐。听我讲，哎。Yeah, every time 我的 mind is stir up 的时候，我都看到我里面我有 anger， 还是 others why is a hatred or 我的 greed， but I cannot do anything. 就你 just let it be 的，哇，一直 like 哦 ，one after another， 一直 stir， 一直 stir， 一直 stir。So last week 你一讲就说，哎，我讲 this two week 就是 exactly what I know 我在
what you go through，
啊，我 go through 的。Then from that onward, Monday, the next day, 我一 arise 的时候， wake up 的时候， 我这里完全静下来了。Then, 我以为只是一个 moment， 所以我去 observe 这整个礼拜。我发现到我这整个礼拜完全不一样了。
不一样了。
这里完全是静下来了。
静下来。
Still 了。And then, Sometimes 你会你会 notice that 这个 mind 会 arise， but 它 just very
这样子， you continue to speak， you continue to speak。
Sometimes 那个 mind 它会 arise， but 它已经不能够再 disturb 你了，就很on and off， like 它不会很 wild 了，就是你很like before that， like last two months， 那个hitless 的 mind 是 so big， 那个 mindfulness so small， but now this week， like 这个 mindfulness so big， 那个 hitless mind so small， like 你懂它来， but 它已经不能够 disturb 你了。And then like this week， like 突然间like 那个 mind 很像进入 another 一个 step 这样子，就是我也不懂要怎样，就是like 很像刚才这样子，我连 meditate 都不想要 meditate 了，就 like 刚才你所讲的那些你在 explain 那些 mindfulness， 我说连那个都没有了。就是 like 已经 as a part of 你自己了，这样子。 Then, this morning, 我就想，哎，我自己 try， 哎，为什么这样大的 big difference？Last 2 months, wow, it's so wild, 那个 mind so lost, you know. Then this morning, 我讲，哎，我去 stir 它，看怎么样。I try to stir 那个。那我去 stir 它的时候，它一 arise 了以后，它又它就整个又
就 slow down， 然后又灭掉。
你根本都不能够拉它上来的。And then, there was one day morning, 我一 wake up 的时候，我在那个床上来的时候，我一 open 我的 mind 的时候，我一 open 我的眼睛的时候，同时我也看到了我的那个 mind 也很像 start 了，一个
fearless
light。The moment 你的 eyes 一 open， 你的 mind 就跟着就 stir 就来，它就很像一个
The brain activity
就跟着来做工了，就这样子，And then, then this week 看到了很多的东西都你不会有 comment 了，也不会有 like 不像before that， 哇，你很多的 comment， 很多的就是哈，你一直要放你的 opinion， 一直要什么，
没有用的，
But last time you aware， but you cannot do anything， 那个 comment 它是 auto 出来的。
I will explain that.
But this week like。没有了的 like most of the time 你这里你可以发现到这里就是这样子，什么都就是这样子
好像空掉这样，
对对，就是一个这样子空掉什么也没有掉
okay, good. 还有什么
就没有
OK I will explain to you so you listen attentively for the benefit of others too. Well, later on you may go through the same test We call this the test, because sometimes after you have gone through the progress, the meditative understanding or awakening, for no reason, it will come and test you. That it will create all this heedless thinking for you to test you. As long as you cannot pass the test, it will continue to come. That's why you are going through that phase.Then last Sunday, I think when Mindy relayed the meditation, that one helped you, because the retreat supposed to teach them citta nupassana. Citta is not to watch your thought. Citta is thought itself. Understand now? Nupassana. You know what is nu or not? Nu is like marana nu sati. Means.You contemplate into it. Pasana is to awaken to. So after you contemplate and you awaken to, it's called nupasana. So citta nupasana means citta. You develop this meditative ability to contemplate and insight.Into the three universal characteristics. So under citta nupassana, passana is to awaken to, like vipassana. Vi is the three characteristics of nature. Passana is to insight into the characteristics of nature. So like contemplation on the Buddha is Buddha nusati. You contemplate with clarity, withawareness, visati, then marana nu sati. But this one under the four foundations of mindfulness is nu pasana. Means when you contemplate, you insight into. So under the Satipatthana Sutta is mentioned, when the content of consciousness, your citta is consciousness and is content, you must be aware.That's why you saw the stirring, the reaction and all those things. Because you still refer to the thought process. You just let it be. But you are not in your formal meditation. That's why if you just let it be, if you understand the actual meaning, then it will not disturb you. But as you saw, because it come and test you, when the car in front, like you mentioned, slow down,inside here feel agitated. Then you saw all this sankhara coming. you know that sankhara is activity of the mundane mind. It is delusion, heedless thinking and all those things. But like you say you cannot do anything. But when you understand there is no movement inside, but because it is a test, it will show it to you. It will make you like that, make your form and mind like that. But because you have the understanding, but that understanding failed to manifest for you to pass the test until you heard that reporting from Mindy. When I say Chittanupassana is to develop the ability to be aware of the content of consciousness. That's why you like all of a sudden recall that what you have been watching is the wrong thing. It's not what Nupassana is all about. You're supposed to be aware. Aware means when all this movement, like delusion or what, that arise, because you are sensitive already, you have the mindfulness already, you're supposed to stay there. Understand? If you stay there, then you will understand that all this will disappear on its own. After you stay there and just silent, then you will return to its original state of stillness again. Because you didn't stay there. And also you cannot stay there because you are driving. So remember not to fight the thought, not to resist the thought, not to do anything. Because this is sankhara. Sankhara anicchang. Sankhara bring about dukkang. Sankhara anatta. That's why those who even went through arahant way, they still have outflow. This thought is still there. Do you understand? So meditation is not to like root out all this thought. Your all this thought, which is the mundane outflow, can only cease when your mundane mind collapses. Before that, it will be there. So you have to understand this point. So when it comes as a test, the moment you heard that Mindy is reporting, then you know what you are doing is not helping you. Then all of a sudden, like inside, that realization come back. Then you pass the test. After you pass the test, the testing period, no more, gone. That's how you return to, I think you mentioned about 1 week, the mind like go back to like normal, like last time. So always remember, even in the midst of life, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. Don't use your thought to understand or rationalize. Otherwise, you will be tested again and again. Because before the Monday mind collapse, this outflow is still there. But you are not deluded by it, like you say. It doesn't affect you, actually. But where your thought tell you, why am I still reacting? Why am I still got unhappiness? Not really anger in that sense, because it's not a strong emotion that you feel. It's a dislike, a slight aversion. Understand or not? But all this is what your habitual tendency last time is all about. So you have not rooted out that one. Yeah, that one is the normal outflow, the normal behavior. And sometimes when it comes to test you, that thing will be there. So don't worry about all these things. Yeah, this is the mundane aspect, the aggregate of mind. They come and they go. So when you accept them for what they are, when you do not have a problem with them, then your mind state becomes different. Then you pass and straight away you cease. You don't have to wait till Mindy is reporting. Then you attentively listen, then you overcome it. So in future, always remember, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Then whatever that arises, if you perceive it with understanding, that is the reality. The reality means what? I am not sincere, no, understand? No. Polish until it shines so that no dust can align. Means no such thing as this mind must be perfect, no. Cannot arise anything. It has not collapsed. It has not collapsed. Sometimes it comes as a test, sometimes it's a habitual tendency. It will still be there. But whatever happens, your form and mind will understand it's not real. So all this movement, just accept them. Let it be. It will cease. Then if you can, just go back silent. Then understand. Then you contemplate and reflect. And the understanding will go deeper and deeper and deeper. Then all this, you will start to develop the clear understanding. In fact, if I may recall, when your mundane mind is still there before it collapsed, the daily mindfulness is very easy. You can do it very easily. And when it's with you, you are throughout the day mindful. Then like I said last time, it will come and test you. Suddenly you lose the ability to be aware. Oh, for no reason. It can be for a few days, or a week, or 2 weeks. Then if you don't understand, you panic. Because the thought tell you, how come like that? Yeah, you think the mind must be always peaceful, stillness, silent, aware. Need not be. Even if your spiritual faculty or stabilize, it's supposed to behave that way. Because mental hindrance cannot arise. But sometimes it's the test. When the test comes, funny thing can arise, can happen. But whatever it is, you have to reflect and contemplate and understand this form of mind is not you. Sankara is not you. Feeling, emotion, mental state, they are not you. You don't have to do anything. You have to understand their nature, their characteristics. They are of the nature to arise and pass away. So you can accept them for what they are. Your mind becomes more and more quiet, more and more peaceful. The moment your mind starts to reason using thought, then it will start to stir. The movement, the activity will start again. Because the mundane mind hasn't collapsed. It hasn't collapsed means it still got outflow. It will still arise. Like you say, like a physics experiment. Automatic. It's not only automatic, it is because of the test. That's why it makes you like that. So this part, you have to develop the deeper understanding. Then the next time, I don't think it will come again. But should it come again, then you will know what to do. Then you just accord and flow and let things be. Then continue. Then later on when your mundane mind collapse, that period will be very beautiful. You will start to understand exactly what Hui Ning say. What is the true mind? What is that nature, that shine forth? Just aware, nothing. The mundane mind no more. Means there is no more images. No more like the normal type of aggregate, the feeling, but very gross type of layer of mundane thinking mind. The whole piece of consciousness, that gross mind, is like the whole thing collapse in front of you, your nature. Then your brain become different. Then there is a lot of things that happen on the brain here. Then you will know before it collapses. You will know because there is something happening there. Then when the time comes, that whole thing just drop off. It's like a layer of consciousness. It's not like thing fall off, but the layer of consciousness just drop off. Because it's too gross. It cannot stand up to the wisdom energy, the fine vibration that your nature has developed. So when your nature has that type of wisdom, the stability of understanding, and that fine vibration, this mundane mind, which is too gross, cannot stay there. That's how it will collapse. And after it collapses, you will understand many, many things. Then you will be very amazed. Things that you never see before, you start to see. Then, like I mentioned, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? Then that time, because there is nothing to obscure you, no mundane mind, no sankara, nothing. Then you realize everything is just that nature. So clear that all the movement, activity, every phenomenon in the midst of life and nature becomes so clear to you. Then you can be with it. Specific phenomenal awareness. It's just flow. Everything is just like a flow. The awareness, the mind is flowing with phenomena in nature. So physical phenomena, nature's phenomena, the mental phenomena, all this movement, you can be aware of it. Then, because you still have a mind, That mind is a supramundane mind, not the normal mind. So it still has its aggregate, but these are non-grasping aggregate, pure aggregate. Then you can still be with the moment and all those things. Yeah. Then you can just silent and develop the spacious awareness without a center. That time you can like go through the third phase of Dhamma, what they call Pativeda. You get to experience the fruit of your hard work. The third phase of Dhamma means live the life of an awakened being. So all this will be possible. But after that, you don't try to be funny again. You don't try to go and practice mindfulness, like go back to the continuous mindfulness like last time. There is no more mind for you to be mindful. Your nature is really like that. Just like Hui Neng said, that nature will never leave you. It's always there. You will think it's not there if you use the thought. Even the supramundane mind, it has its aggregate, even though it's non-grasping. It is very fine. We call it the supramundane mind. The very, very fine true mind. But this one got its own aggregate activity. Otherwise, because when I went through that phase, I realized I can still feel, I can still perceive. Nothing has changed except the whole thing gone. Then for a whole of 5 to 7 days, I remember, I was so amazed. How come now the nature just shine forth like that? There is nothing to obscure. No more. No more activity of mind, no more sankhara, no more mental state, no more movement, no more. The mundane mind like completely disappear. Not there at all. I can't even think like last time. Then I had to learn how to use this very, very fine supramundane mind. Like no movement inside. Very, very, I don't know what word to use. It's like very fine. The word is fine. It's very fine. It's like no movement at all. If no movement, how come I can still use the senses? I can still be conscious. I can still feel things, understand things. But the feeling is very different now. It's no more like last night, the gross feeling. Then the perception all is different. It can use the brain, but it is very fine. It's like there is nothing there. You want to recall, you recall. You want to use thought, you use. But this thought is very different, very fine. It's a different type of mind. So all these are the higher teaching that people who hasn't gone through cannot understand. And no point teaching because they can never understand. So to go through that one, you need condition. You need more people to have the condition. So far, you are the first that has the condition. That's how I can explain this. Then always remember, listen attentively and just understand. Don't try to remember. Because when the time comes, your nature will recall what I say. It's just like those people who heard from Hui Neng. All of a sudden, they will understand. So you only need to remember that these are the things that happen to my nature. So when it happens to you, it can be in a different way. But more or less, it's the same, similar, in the sense that the true mind is just the true mind. But different people with different conditions, different parami, will go through it differently, understand it differently, because you have your past, you have your uniqueness, and you also have your other type of karmic inheritance. So your way could be different. But finally, everybody has to go through the same thing, because that nature is just the oneness nature, not yours, not mine, and anybody else. It's just that same oneness nature. Then it will return to the source, the original nature and all this. And all this, the form and mind that is connected, will understand. Okay? Anything else? Anything else? We all should rejoice. and thank Song for the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why I always remember this form of mind is just a form of mind, it's not you. But because it's connected to that wisdom, that understanding, then this one is prevented from being deluded. But sometimes that understanding is not stable yet. So if you use your thought to understand, you can never understand on. That's why you always have this type of conflict. Like, how come still got this one? How come still like that? You cannot, because that is from the thought. The thought cannot understand. But when you go deep in, silent, then as you stabilize this until a lot of transformation happens, then you will develop your own deeper inner understanding, which is very stable. Yeah, then when that time comes, a lot of things will change, will happen. Yeah. All these things that my nature went through, nobody taught me. Nobody even explained to me. My nature find out myself. Yeah. And not everybody can reach this stage of cultivation. Yeah, this is a very, very different type of cultivation. These are done by only Bodhisattva. If you are not a Bodhisattva, even when you are in the beginning stage of Bodhisattva, you don't do. You only have all this ability when you are towards the end. The 7 or 8 ground and all those things. Otherwise, you cannot have this ability to comprehend all these things and to go through all these things. But most people are within the sainthood way. Then the beginning stage of Bodhisattva. But of course there are some, very few, who are great beings who have this ability to understand and has this ability to go through all this. So this type of being are very rare. You can encounter and meet. That's why you must make the affinity, determined to have the affinity. Then make your aspiration, make your vow, especially the Bodhisattva vow, strengthen it. Then life after life, determine to have this type of understanding so that you will know how to ask for forgiveness. You will know how to repent, determine not to go the wrong way. Then after that, you will determine to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. Then continuously cultivate with this understanding, guided by the 4 basic vow of the Bodhisattva and the 3 set of pure precepts. When you cultivate all this, it will take you along naturally. Because when you take all this vow and you do all those things that I share with you in the book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, you would have developed affinity with all those great beings. You would have developed a clear understanding of this practice or cultivation. Then you will not fall. Then life after life after this life, you will be beautiful. Then even the sasana no more, your nature, your form and mind will know how to come with this understanding and continue with the cultivation. Then your nature become different. Then you progress differently. Your path, your understanding, your cultivation become very different. So this is the dawning of the golden age or the new era of cultivation for those who have the condition. So this is something that the world needs. That's how the website come about, the book come about. Then this retreat will be very, very different. So have faith, determine. Then before we go up, I will give you a briefing, then I will give you all the notes, plus the what they call, we call it the program. Then there is also some important short note that I managed to find in the earlier retreat. I remember the year 2013, that time when we were doing the retreat, there were some short notes that were very important. I don't know whether I can find the master or not. But at least I got the copy. And I will go through it, update it, and we can share them. And they are very beautiful. Then remember to bring the Heart Sutta book, the thick book, the Cultivating of the Bodhisattva Way, the book. Then the two chanting books, the thin one and the thick one. Then the rest, I will give to you, the program, the notes and all those things. Okay. Anybody else want to report meditation? Let the song continue. Okay. Yeah.
Brother, 我要 share 这个我这个礼拜我们那个地我在那个 Sri Patalin 有一个庙，说他办了这个万佛忏，说他用 one week to recite 这个 10,000 Buddha 的那个名字，每一个名字一个报，每一个名字一个报。
So,
one for time. I join a few sections. 当我在我去 join 的时候in between, 我 suddenly like 很多的那个感触，因为我们这个 10,000 Buddha 是past 的 Buddha 是过去佛
过去佛
And then 这个过去佛它还没有完，我们只是 about 10,000 only, there are more than that. So 我们每一个佛我就在 about 的时候，我每一个佛在 about 的时候，我 suddenly like 觉得一个 Buddha 要 if 一个人要 become 他的 nature 要 become 这个 Buddha 要要 perfect 那个 paramita， 它需要多么长的那个时间，跟那个 paramita， 跟那个 virtue。我讲要一个佛都已经不容易了，但现在有 10,000 的 Buddha， 我讲哇，这个 time and space 是 no 是 really like。这个 universe 哇，
beyond,
真的是 beyond,
beyond your comprehension。
真的是 beyond。我想哇，我们这个 Theravada 只是emphasize 一个这个 Sakyamuni 罢了。我想只是一个，但我现在是 10,000 Buddha。我讲哇，真的是 like 你会觉得这个 form and mind， 我们这个 life 真的是 insignificant，
very insignificant，
真的是 nothing， 真的是 nothing。If compared to 这个 10,000 Buddha， 他们要 become 这个 Buddha， 他们要 go through 这个。这个 time frame， 哇，真的是
the cultivation， the perfection and all this，
对 ，and then 我们每包了100个 Buddha 了以后，我们就会做回向 ，and then 我们会唱普贤菩萨
啊 ，very good。
Then from then onward， 我才知道，哇哦，这个普贤菩萨
yeah,
真的是
很厉害。
当我在每一个包的时候，我忽然间就知道你上次讲的普贤菩萨的一个包，它能够 manifest 这个过去、现在跟未来佛的那个的那个愿力的时候，哇，我真的是很感动。我觉得我的每一个包，只要我有 faith 的话，我能够做到。很像普贤菩萨的这个愿力的话，我一个包我也能够在
做完。
对，
做完全部 ，That's why all those one for 参嘛，不用做的，一个包就行了 ，finish all。
对。
Do you know what is that one vow? The rest of you, we have Pusian got a special vow. When she pay respect, she pay respect to all the Buddhas of the three period of time, past, present, and future Buddha. So his one vow.There can be billions and billions of countless Sammasambuddha that have arisen. But she has perfected her ability to just one bow to all these beings, great beings. So that perfection is very, very rare. And her vow is very special. She also vowed to be the first to invite Sammasambuddha to come out to share the teaching.To keep the sasana around and all those things. You look at her vow. There are 10 very simple but very great vows. continue. Yeah.
我每一天都都有去 join 的时候，都在报的时候 ，like， 他每一个他要开始的时候，他是报南无普贤王菩萨。
Yeah, yeah, 普贤王。
The moment 他一 recite 那个普贤王的时候，
yeah.
我觉得哇哦，这个普贤真的是 真的是很厉害，
yeah.
因为他是讲我们有十九个那个monk。在那边唱，说他的那个那个 Albert， 他唱他是 lead 我们 lay person，
yeah, yeah.
他唱一个佛号我们就报。
Yeah.
Then the second 是那十八个 monk 唱，哇，等下他就很像哦，
yeah,
一唱一和
yeah, yeah.
一唱一和，哇，
yeah.
很 grand 很 grand。
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
当你慢慢一直在 silent mind 去听的时候，它很像那个 vibration
yeah,
一直在
不一样的
一直、对，很像去 build up 你的
faith。Yeah, yeah, yeah,
faith, 然后这个。我很像整个觉得我的 view 整个是 open up，
yeah, yeah, yeah,
from 这个 Theravada 的一个 Sakyamuni、
yeah,
来 open up to the 10,000 Buddha 这样子，
yeah, yeah, yeah,
来 suddenly 哇、wow, 这个整个你的很像这个整个 vision 你是 open up，
yeah, yeah, yeah,
来完全你会觉得真的是不一样的、
yeah.
这个这个 path 这个 way、
yeah.
不是只有一个佛在走，是很多很多的佛，有很多的菩萨都在 walk on this path，
yeah，
非常的殊胜。
Sadhu， very good。
然后我突然间才觉得，哦，原来我就觉得很像这一个这个法会，很像普贤菩萨在盖我这样。
Yeah。
因为我以前一直
yeah you got affinity with that great being Pu Xian，
对，
yeah,
我
觉得 very strong affinity，
对，我第一次觉得诶，怎么很像是普贤菩萨、
yeah.
在 guide 我
yeah, the nature,
因为、
yeah.
他的 nature， 我以前我一直都是感觉到是观世音菩萨的 nature，
yeah, yeah,
yeah. 在这一个法会里面我就很像看到这整个，来、like, 我 suddenly 就很像也 understand 了普贤菩萨的那个 wow，
yeah.
他的那个愿力
yeah, yeah.
，everything like 突然间觉得很像，哎，
yeah?
完全不一样这样子。
对，杀掉。Okay。Before you continue, 暂时我 explain a bit first, then you continue. You see, like his case, Brother Song, he has great affinity with Pu Xian Bodhisattva. Because a few years back, I think 2 or 3 years back, I don't know 1 year, we had a spiritual trip to this Ermei San, which is a way place of Pu Xian Bodhisattva.The Pali name is Samantara Bhadra Bodhisattva. So when we were on that trip, there are quite a number of Kayamita with affinity. In particular, Brother Song, when he reached there, the mountain top, it was covered with mist. The whole place was covered in mist, very cooling. Then like,misty, the nature very beautiful. Then when we were there, we were doing the sharing, then doing some chanting. He can't join us. He keep on crying down there. Keep on crying until later. Then the guy that took us there, Mr. He thought something wrong with him. Then he go and console him. Cannot, the crying continue. Crying, with the tears. But it's not sadness.It's something deep inside the connection. Then Mr. Came and see me. He said, "Brother, brother," he said, "our brother Song. You need to go and see him or not? He's crying." He said, "I said, don't worry, nothing. His affinity." Then he spoke to me in Mandarin. "Suppose you 问题," I said, "没问题." 没事。So I say, it will come to pass. Then after that, he feel funny, you know. he go back and look at Brother Song, you know. Then he himself start to cry. Then he thought because he was near him, influenced him. Hey, he decided to walk away, you know, very far. Until easily, I think, 200 feet away. You know. He realized the tears come out from his eye. You know. He's still crying. You know. Then he cannot understand. You know. Then after we all finished everything, on the way down, he talked to a few people, you know, of our Kalyamita. They laugh at him. You know. Then they say, you want to know? You go and ask Brother Teo. Then he did not ask me until we reached the bus. We had to come down all the way, walk back all the way until the foothill where the bus is. And then only he came and see me and asked me. Then I told him, it's your affinity. That's why you can be our tour agent, tour guide. Otherwise you won't. You won't have this condition. And he organized that trip very beautifully, very well. Then got many things happened during that trip. It was very beautiful. Then we were able to see the four seasons. Really, four seasons. We witnessed winter on the way down. We went one stretch of road about 500 to 600 feet. Anyway, 500 to 600, about 200 meters. That turning there. Suddenly the area covered with fresh snow and all those things. Then further away, normal weather. Then further down, spring, then there is certain area like autumn. Then we also have this sunny part. After we reached there, we were told the hill collapsed. Then traffic cannot come out for a number of days. Then when we are about to go down, they say still not open yet. But very likely that day, don't know what time, only that place where the earthquake is or the hill slope collapse is possible. So the bus driver told the tour agent that they have a situation. So which route to take? If you take the direct route, you may have to wait for many hours for the road to clear. Then there is an alternate road which is further, take longer time. Then they also dare not decide. They came and see me. Then I have to make a decision. So what I did was very simple. I talked to the driver. I said I need to talk to the driver. Then when I talk to the driver, I can feel him. I say, based on your experience, because I know this driver is very good. If I allow you to make the decision, what decision will you make? He said, I will take the longer route, because I can bring you to many places and show you many things. Yeah. Then by the time you reach there, very likely that place is possible already. So, okay, I say, if that's the case, then I told the organizer, we follow the driver's advice, we take that route. When we went on that route, wow, so beautiful. That's how all the four seasons, everything come. Then he took us to so many of these places where we're not supposed to pass by. Then by the time we reach, because of the detour, we cannot reach the hotel. And Mr. Er was very good. He contacted the local agent. Then the local agent said, no problem, I will book another hotel for you halfway before you reach the actual one. Then we will cancel that hotel. Or then he managed to get one hotel halfway, very good one. That's why everything went on well. Then at one stretch when we were at the bus, we thought, a lot of people thought we had to wait very long. We had all the lorry, the truck, everything is like queue up and cannot move, stay there. Then somehow, because we understand, we were not in a mind state that is agitated or what, we just patiently stay there. Then we had some nice time sharing and doing all those things on the bus. Then all of a sudden, not long, suddenly the message came through the phone call and all those things that the thing is already clear, possible. So everybody was full of joy. Then that bus moved. Then we reached the hotel, I think about midnight, which was just nice, beautiful, and had a very good stay. The whole trip was perfect, beautiful. And what I want to share is the affinity of some of these Kayanamita with all these great beings. Some have great affinity with Manjushri, Vensu Pusa, the foremost in wisdom. So this one, Pusian, is the vow, the very special vow, the 10 very special vow. Then some have affinity with Kunyin, that's why we went to Putosan twice. Then some have affinity with Chiu Hua San, the great being there, is a store Bodhisattva, Ti Zhang Wang Pusa. Then the other thing is, when you have this understanding, affinity, if you know how to pay the respect, express your gratitude and thanks, then continue to invoke power and merits for causes and conditions for them to continuously guide your nature, protect your nature, and also bless your nature. When you have this understanding and create all this affinity, they will help you. Whenever you come, your form and mind will be protected. Your nature don't need protection. Your form and mind need protection. That's why this life, Kuan Yin's nature, protected my form and mind. Otherwise, it would have died 3 times. But because of Kuan Yin, this nature survived. Then blessing and guidance is the same. Because Kuan Yin came in 1986 with the message to move around the Triple Gem. Then I move, my nature move. That's why the guidance. Then the blessing is like, you are very blessed, always protected. Not only by great beings, but Dharma protector and all those things. You understand. Then the nature's law is very beautiful. When you have the Dharma, you are beautiful. Then you understand all this. You will know how to echo and flow and build up your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, your understanding. Then you will be a true blessing to all. Then talking about the 10,000 Buddhas, Samasam Buddhas, it may appear like a big number, but compared to the reality, the first Samasam Buddha, Virochana Buddha, until now, there are billions and billions and billions of countless Samasam Buddha. Even in some of the sutta, Vimalakiti Sutta, it was mentioned there, he has met up with 90 million Samasam Buddha. It's not 90,000, no. The one they chant is only 10,000, it takes them 1 week. So 90,000, it will take them 10 weeks. Correct? Then what about 9 million? How long you need to chant? 9 million, add another 30 at the back. 10,000 weeks. You die before you chant finish. You understand? So you must develop Pusian's way of bowing. Otherwise, it takes you too long. It's like cultivation, understand? You go traditional way, it takes you too long. But everybody has to start somewhere. Then like Song came to realize, as he start taking all this because there's affinity, then the nature will know it is really a blessing to have affinity all these Samasam Buddhas. This is how you create affinity without you knowing. Like he said, the chanting, the vibration, the synchron, what they call, how they synchronize the bowing and the chanting. The abbot start, then the lay people bow. Then all the other 18 monks start, they bow again. Then it's like perfect synchrony and harmony. And it open up your nature. The vibration will go in. All these are cultivators. And they are chanting the Samasam Buddha's name to develop affinity, faith, respect. That's why they call it one for chant. which is very good. Yeah. But things will get evolved and become different. And now you will understand why Xuan Hua also had this one fortune. He called his way place the city of 10,000 Samasambuddhas. One fortune. So it's like a city with 10,000 Samasambuddhas. Yeah. Then I think you all have what? 88 or whatever when you chant. So Mahayana got a lot of all these things. So if you really have affinity, if you want to understand, you can understand, it's not difficult. But most of all this, if you can have the condition or affinity to develop them and to develop the understanding, it can become very beautiful. But please do not be carried away by all of this. So you end up, you may not see your own greed for all these things. What is important is got condition to do, then go. Anasana. Later on, you will not seek anymore. Your nature will know where they are still, the cultivation part. So cultivation is when there is affinity, things manifest, you go, because that nature knows, and it has to go because there is affinity, like this nature, this life, this form of mind. That's why you ask me to organize spiritual trail. No, unless there is condition, I don't just for the sake of going, we go. No. Without condition, nothing happens. And for condition to arise, you have to cultivate until that level where you can see the sign, you can understand the condition behind. So all this is not easy for living being to understand. Even cultivator may not understand unless you have developed the cultivation which is very, very special and very unique. What's the time now? Ayo, 6 o'clock. So you got anything else? So, no more. Okay, we end. So just nice. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall recall to mind all of our wholesomeness. Whatever goodness, wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 3 hours or so, then we will share this merits with all beings. Starting with the devas. Akasata cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawanivana patia sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Sakyamuni Buddha, and all the other worthy ones. Then we end.